Hello and welcome to Key to IP, the show that features intellectual property experts and takes a deep dive into intangible assets and innovations, featuring discussions on recent news surrounding IP. I'm your host, Tracy Gladden, and today we're going to talk about the digitalization of IP with Dr. Cornelia Poisa, Senior Consultant at Dennemeyer IP Consulting and author of the newest study from Dennemeyer, The Future of IP. How are you, Cornelia, and from where are you joining us today in the world?
Hi, Tracy. Glad to be here. I'm joining you from my home office, which I went back to just for this day to have peace and quiet for our conversation.
Well, let's get a little bit into your background. It's in innovation economics. So I'm really looking forward to discussing your experience with the latest study and the exciting conclusions that you've reached together with your panel of experts specifically about digitalization.
Yes, it was a fun study. As you said, my background is innovation economics. I spent about 10 years, 11 years at the university doing economic research into innovation systems, which got me in touch with IP, so to speak, because I used IP data. And eventually I thought that, well, I don't want to look on it from the outside anymore. I want to go straight into it. And that's why I'm with Dennemeyer Consulting now, working with clients directly in their IP management.
Joining you today is Sean Hunter as well, marketing manager at the Dennemeyer Group. He's joining us from London. Hi, Sean.
Hello. Yes, it's a nice day here as well, shockingly, for the UK.
Sean, your area of expertise is obviously in marketing, but you've also been recently involved in another study for the Dennemeyer Group, the IP Trend Monitor. I want to get some examples of the major findings and how your panel views digitalization during this pod.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to diving deep into this and comparing the results of this with the Future of IP study and hopefully come to some interesting conclusions.
Well, let's get started. Tell me a little bit about 2021 and the study.
Yeah, so essentially everyone was very aware that there was a huge shift in attitudes in workplace since the pandemic started. And we wanted to take a snapshot of that across the IP industry. So we asked our panel of IP representatives based across the globe and to gather how their workplace and their attitudes and their workload has changed during the pandemic. And we got some really, really interesting results from that.
I think so too, because we ran the Future of IP basically through 2020. And obviously 2020 happened then. And while we did have hypotheses and structured our interviews with respect to an earlier study that we had done about that, we took input from earlier trend monitors as well. But obviously we wanted to capture the mood of the moment, so to speak. And we spoke a lot with people from the IP industry or from industry in general. We spoke with people from academia. We spoke with people from the IP offices, with people from government. And they all gave us their very, very tangible what is happening now idea and really talked with us about what's at the top of their heads at that time. And that was obviously the pandemic and how to organize their work and what was difficult and what was maybe not so difficult or went surprisingly well even. So bringing those two together, the more quantitative trend monitor and the qualitative quality of the Future of IP, I think gives us a really, really rounded picture, which also points out the challenges that people are currently dealing with. And while very often they were what we kind of expected, because obviously we're going through the situation ourselves, it also raised a few things that sometimes we weren't that aware of. And I think that is the beauty of it, that it brought up in those deep conversations. And I'm really, really grateful to all those experts who gave us an hour of their precious time or even more to discuss those things in depth. So we weren't exactly derailed by it, but we brought this whole, oh my God, this is 2020 and this is happening right now, straight into that study, and particularly with digitalization, with everyone going through lockdowns, sitting in their home office. Most of the interviews we got, obviously couldn't do in person. We would actually have to speak with people through digital means and suffered from all the little problems that we're currently encountering still. But it was really, really interesting. And we got quite deep insight Don't know, Sean, if you want to go into the first challenges that came up with your survey, and then I elaborate on that when people told me.
Initially, the biggest change, as everyone, I'm sure everyone is aware, is the changing work environment, physically where people are based and where they're working. And we found that 78% of people were now working remotely at least 50% of the time, with 33%, 100% working remotely. So that was the obvious shift. And what was most interesting about that is that that actually opened up a whole new set of challenges. Maybe we'd taken for granted previously. 74% of those asked said a lack of social contact with colleagues was the biggest challenge they faced. That was the most common issue people were now facing. And 69% lack of face-to-face meetings, 52% reduced communication with colleagues and clients. This idea of communication, collaboration, is a new challenge that the industry wasn't facing before. And I think it's apparent, and I'm hoping the Future of IP study is saying the same, that digitalization of their processes was key in overcoming, or will be key in overcoming, a lot of those challenges.
Definitely. But it also adds a bit more complexity to that, because I think we're all facing exactly those problems. And those would actually be the things that would be up in my mind first and foremost, the lack of physical, personal interaction. What people told us, and maybe I should start that from the other side, we have a lot of digital IP management. There are quite sophisticated IP management systems around. Actually, Denimai offers one of those. But what we were told was that it is very much about acceptance and about being proficient in working these systems. If you take an IP management system that takes most of the actual IP work into the digital, there is still the issue that there is real people sitting in front of that screen. And if you say, and that came up quite strongly, if you say, you know what, we have a great new system and we're going digital from next Tuesday onwards, what you will need is resistance and reluctance to work with that. Back in academia, we call that organizational inertia. Simply going digital for the sake of it will not work. And what we found prior to 2020, and what we were told a lot, was that, yes, we do have those IP management systems, but yes, the paper file is still the master, because human beings tend to trust what they know. And being able to fall back onto the physical that cannot be wiped out if the power goes down, that is not something new and a bit alien. That is what people fall back to. And quite a lot in our own work in consulting, but also through the discussions with our experts, we found that yes, everyone was talking about digitalization. Everyone, or nearly everyone, was using these things. But the whole ecosystem in which those IP management systems, for example, or search software, patent search software, and the like, the ecosystem in which these exist, they are often not quite as adapted to it. And COVID and the lockdowns then created that necessary pain. If you think about it, that until very recently, and I'm actually not sure about the current state of it, the European Patent Office still sent out notification by fax, which is a bit difficult when you're not in the office to pick it up. And so we found quite often in our dealings with clients and in our discussions that a lot of organizations talk the talk of digitalization, but they're not necessarily walking the walk. And I remember one particular interview with the head of IP at a fairly large German firm who said, we spent close to 10 years going digital, bit by bit. We introduced the system. We adapted our workflows. We sometimes ran them in parallel for a while until we then switched over completely. We created this acceptance, familiarity with the systems, and we created this sense of actually, yes, it creates a benefit for the people who work. And once you have that, and I remember that's a quote, once COVID came, we hit the ground running, but only because we have this careful and holistic change management that preceded the whole thing.
Sean, what would you find the most intriguing or unexpected finding concerning digitalization from the latest IP Trend Monitor study?
Yeah, I think it actually jumps off the point of what Cornelia was saying there quite nicely. And one of the most surprising results for me was that when we asked people to rank which things they found would be most likely to influence IP work in the coming 5 years, the impacts of technology, specifically digitalization and AI, ranked higher than budget restrictions. And that is from a survey in a post-pandemic world. So it's really interesting to see that, I think, even more so than the pressure this has put on budgets, the pandemic, the realization that you need to be more digitalized and you need to adopt technologies, including machine learning and AI tools, is the most important part.
I think that's what one of my interviewees called the necessary pain. You do not have a choice anymore. It's not about, oh yeah, we'll do that next week. But you have to do it now. People need to be working with the digital tools.
And it's reflected in how people are expecting their job to change in the next few years as well. They're seeing that with face-to-face meetings being less common, less travel, working from home more, they can't afford to just be thinking about budgets. They need to think about the tools that will make them and their team be able to work the most effectively.
So Sean, the previous edition of the IP Trend Monitor focused on automation and AI and what those tools mean for IP practice. But some of those questions are also revisited in the 2020 survey. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And we were finding while there's still some consistency between the views expressed in those surveys, there are a lot of notable differences as well. And I think there's a big attitude change around what people think of AI, which I think was previously a term sort of exclusively used in sci-fi movies for sort of scary robots and stuff. But we asked participants what types of work they feel is most likely to be affected by automation AI. And secondly, how business is likely to be impacted as a result. And the sort of proportion of people who checked sort of trademark clearance and searching as something that might be affected increased from 58% to 71%. For docketing, from 43% to 71%. For patent filing, 35% to 57%. And for trademark filing, 33% to 56%. So in these key IP tasks, we're seeing greater acceptance that they need to use automation and AI. And these increments are suggesting that they've already started to play a greater role in types of work since 2019. And the launch of some numerous services using image searching and machine learning in the past couple of years has likely impacted people's views about using AI in trademark and patent work.
And it sounds like the pandemic really rushed that change.
I think that is also interestingly reflected in the general IP landscape, so to speak. If we go away from the actual IP management practice, you find that those business models, those digital business models, get more valuable. And you find that those who offer these kinds of solutions find that their IP is actually more valuable. And what we've seen through the crisis as well is with the economic downturn, it was obviously the digital business models that thrive. And we found established players, new players, that were far more prepared to fight for their IP assets and then to go through litigation, because this is where the future now manifests. And we found during 2020 a slight uptick in, for example, patent litigation, because those digital or digitally based business models with the IP attached to it become more valuable. And those that actually manage to survive the crisis, we're talking about a survival of the fittest here, not necessarily those that have the deepest pockets, but those that can establish themselves in those markets. And with the whole tool aspect, machine learning, AI, and so on and so forth, becoming more important and very much more important now in this new digital world that we were forced into, we find that those that own this IP are far more prepared to fight for it and to fight over it. And in that respect, the IP world has also been affected by COVID, and the digitalization became much more focused on where we can apply those tools and where they make sense.
Absolutely. And something reassuring for people as well, I think, is the realization that when we say AI, we're not hiring something or some robot to come in and replace the role. And when asked, what do you expect to be the impact of IP in business? Only 20% of people believe that that would affect hiring of humans within that. These AI tools are being used to enhance roles and increase productivity as opposed to replace. And I think that stigma that's surrounding it is starting to lift, and people are starting to realize that they need to adapt these tools to be most effective.
Harking back to your point about the alien robots, I think that picture was very apt, because that is what is diminishing. Because what we find, and what we found in our talks, was the realization that with all those powerful tools to gather and process and analyze data, you always need the human brain in front of it to make the actual decision and to make sense of this vast amount of now organized data, but it needs the human head. The work that humans do, that is definitely changing. But what we found in the future of IP is that pretty much absolutely everyone not only agrees that humans won't become obsolete, but they're actually becoming almost more important, because they in the end make those decisions, and they will for a very long time to come.
Perhaps, again, one of the most interesting takeaways is that the impact of digitalization still ranks the highest on people's output of how the IP landscape will be changing. It's still, just because we've had this huge development and this huge acceptance of AI and all these tools, doesn't mean people do not still see the potential of how this is going to change in ways we don't understand today, even in the coming years. And I think that's the most interesting, is you need to be adopting these things now to stay ahead of this curve, as things are just going to be developing and innovating in ways we can't even expect.
Couldn't agree more there. Because what we will see, and here's the economist speaking for a moment, what we will see is those successful business models, mm-hmm. the successful tools that combine a certain ease of use with a powerful way of dealing with data, with turning all sorts of management tasks into the digital, those will proliferate. We will see a concentration of big players coming out, like turn away from IP, think about Zoom. Where was Zoom before the crisis? Where is Zoom now? So those are becoming powerful, but that will even out, because as you said, Sean, there will be developments that we can't even anticipate now. And those then again will eat at the market share of the big players, those that are big now. And that will be the interesting thing to see, because we're talking about the future of IP, but really we're talking about the present and then interpolate towards the future. But I think none of us here has a crystal ball, really.
No, absolutely not.
So in this part of the podcast, we like to ask our guests to help our audience understand a very small difference in IP. So, Cornelia and Sean, what is the difference between digitization and digitalization?
Oh, dear. Do you want to go first, Sean?
Yes. So the difference between digitalization and digitization is something we've come across again and again as people being confused about, even within the IP industry. And they're words that obviously sound so similar and sound like they do exactly the same thing, but actually their principles are very different. And Cornelia, I think you can best explain the difference between those two.
Digitization is getting things that aren't digital into a digital format, whereas digitalization is adopting digital workflows and working with the digital.
Thank you, Cornelia, for digging into your Future of IP study, and Sean for sharing some of those interesting stats from the IP Trend Monitor survey and how IP professionals see the industry landscape shifting towards digitalization. For our listeners, you can find the studies discussed in this podcast today online at go.denemeyer.com/key2IP. There you can learn more about our expert guests and find out about our upcoming podcast topics. Join us next time on your industry-trusted IP podcast, Key to IP. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.